A Self-Conscious Philosophy of Resistance, June 2024. There have always been two prongs to my writing. As well as analysing and exposing the criminocratic agenda, I tried to counter it with a coherent alternative worldview. I've often pointed out that these two prongs belong to one and the same political pitchfork, but I think I got this across particularly clearly in the talk I gave in Edinburgh, Scotland, on May the 30th this year. There I described how the philosophy that I call organic radicalism can be regarded as the ideological counterpart to the understanding and critique of corrupt contemporary society that the system labels conspiracy theory. Once somebody has seen through one particular set of official lies, they find themselves in a different political dimension. As well as becoming aware of the truth hidden by the specific manipulation they have seen through, they also grasp the broader context of those lies. They start to see how our understanding of reality is restricted and distorted by the system, and also for what purposes this is carried out in so many areas of life. The further they look into all of this, the more they become horribly aware that everything most people think is true is fake. They realise that we're all living inside a vast racket, a scam, an artifice that has been manufactured to exploit us, to reduce and restrict us, to steal from us, to disempower us, to rule over us. Ultimately, we're imprisoned within this machine by violence, disguised as the legitimate monopoly of force held by criminal organisations calling themselves states and claiming to represent the nation. As Leo Tolstoy wrote in The Slavery of Our Times in 1900, quote, "Laws are rules made by people who govern by means of organised violence, for non-compliance with which the non-complier is subjected to blows, to loss of liberty, or even to being murdered." End quote. Our rulers like to remind us from time to time of the potential violence that is always at their disposal, and evidently take a sadistic delight in so doing. Whether this takes the form of sending in militarised cops to attack unarmed protesters, or forcing people to undergo dehumanising security checks when they enter public buildings or board a plane, the message of physical domination is the same. Mostly, however, the system relies on mind control to keep us compliant. The racket is vast and sophisticated and uses layer after layer of lies to dupe us. It features major narratives such as progress, the idea that our progressive separation from nature and community under the system's industrial tyranny is both good and inevitable, or such as the myth that we live in a democracy in which the enslaved majority make the decisions rather than the tiny minority of slave masters. The racket also involves the construction of taboos around any questioning of its narratives, not just moral taboos that present dissident approaches as bad and dangerous, but also intellectual taboos that insist that it is simply ridiculous, unthinkable even, to propose a future for humankind other than that being handed out to us by the system. Moreover, inside the broad framework of the racket's false reality is a great entanglement of lesser narratives, all designed to obfuscate the nature of the racket, to misdirect, mislead and divide, and to nudge us into changing our beliefs and behaviour in directions that will benefit the racketeers. The other day, I wrote about the way in which wars and other shock and awe events are used to shunt us further along the dark and deadly path of modernisation. But we are also constantly being drip-fed material that maintains and accelerates our departure from healthy, natural lives into the battery hen existence of the modern slave. I don't think it is mere coincidence that the term progressive is used to describe ideas which aid the advance of industrial progress by breaking down traditional social structures and denying the validity of centuries-old wisdom that would have acted as a defensive social barrier against the criminocratic assault. In a fascinating article on the Real Left website, Chris Rea takes a closer look at the Beatles, who played a key role in creating the legend of the progressive 60s and the social liberation that this mini-reset supposedly brought about. He writes, quote, "I've come to the sad conclusion that John, Paul, George and Ringo were merely the dancing puppets in the shop window of a gigantic psychological operation called Beatlemania, and that the Beatles were in fact the world's first Beatles tribute band, and a tribute band that played fewer Beatles songs than their successors, and not as well. End quote. Rea describes the Beatles, along with numerous other acts, as being, quote, a construct created by powerful ruling class forces, most likely the combined efforts of the intelligence agencies, the Tavistock Institute, media interests, commercial slash financial networks, elite families, etc. Their job is to influence individual and collective behaviour in the pursuit of radical social transformation agendas, which seek to achieve one or all of the following outcomes. Getting people to agree to changes to their way of life, which they would normally resist or find disagreeable. Directing people into behavioural modes that ensure their quiescence. Distracting people from real issues and events taking place offstage. End quote. The kind of awareness shown by Rea, and I would urge people to read the whole article, is central to the newly emerging political philosophy that I call organic radicalism. As I said in the Edinburgh talk, it is a sussed point of view, a 21st century perspective that takes into account everything that has happened since the classic ideologies such as Marxism were formulated. Organic radicalism takes on board the insights of the situationist Guy Debord, who saw the existence of the great racket, which he termed the spectacle. But it goes further in that it is also fueled by our questioning of key events that have taken place in recent decades, such as 9/11 and the war on terror, the climate scam, weaponized anti-Semitism claims, transgenderism, and of course everything around COVID. Yes, the roots of organic radicalism are in traditional wisdom and our belonging to the natural world. But the philosophy is also built on an understanding of how and why that belonging-based wisdom, our withness, has been deliberately eroded. Organic radicalism is a self-conscious philosophy that knows why its ideas have been marginalised and smeared by the racketeers, and thus understands why these ideas have to be put back at the centre of our collective imagination. It sees the scam, exposes the lies, and presents the antidote.